obviously you guys are still hanging around, and we'd like to have you hang around even more with our sites that we've got involved. Don, we got Facebook. Where are you at? Facebook, The Valley Outdoors, right?
The Valley Outdoors. It's
and
not hard.
Ava and is where? Where else?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Yeah. It's great when I do the misdirection. I'm looking at Don, and I'm trying to see if I can throw Ava off. He's like,
never
looking at me.
You never get me. You never do.
Well, one guy you can never catch up on. The guy's too quick. He plays on his feet all the time and always lands on his feet. Good friend of the show, good friend of mine for many, many years, Tom Nelson from ESPN, the Outdoor Line, out in the West Coast area. And, I mean, this guy is a virtual, I don't know, cavalcade of information, I guess is the best way to put it. Good to have you in line, Tom. How are you doing today?
Dude, Eric, so good to hear from you, man. Thanks for having me on.
Not a problem. You know, so, Don, give you some background. The other day I was talking to Tom, and when you catch Tom when he's fired up,
yeah,
flow of unconsciousness rivals Robin Williams. I will say that hands down.
We got a taste of that just a little bit ago.
Yeah, he is literally on fire. And, you know, the reason I wanted Tom on is several reasons. One was that many times what happens on the coasts, meaning legislational things, that kind of thing, it'll migrate in. It's like fashion. If something hits it on the West Coast or the East Coast, it doesn't hit the Midwest till, you know, given me 6-8 months, maybe a year, right?
Yeah.
Well, I think the same thing is going to be happening. And after Tom and I talked, I got fired up. I didn't know what to do to get rid of the energy that you got me lit up with, Tom. But Tom just did some what did you call it, Tom? What were you doing?
I would call it aggressive testimony angled at protecting our traditional outdoor pursuits, which is not high on the feckless lame duck Governor Jay Inslee we have here in the state of Washington.
So you can tell he's on fire.
Long and short of it is, several years ago, I was part of a coalition that established an advisory body to the Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, and this body is known as the Wildlife Commission. So we had a bunch of anglers, ranchers, biologists, in other words, real people, right, that were advising Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife, hiring and firing the director, and also informing the department on matters of policy, right? Then this was under another governor. Then when our now governor is running for the position, one of the first things I got to ask him in interviewing Jay Inslee was at the time, well, listen, I'm concerned about how a new governor could possibly treat the commission, because it is possible to stack the commission with anti-hunters, anti-anglers, people that turn their back on science, and from my lips to Satan's ears, here we are now. We have preservationists, we have predator-type people that want to enhance our predator populations at the expense of our ungulate, elk, and deer populations. We have commissioners that are turning their back on science with regard to vetted, established population goals for elk populations here, that just wave their hands and say, well, why don't we just lower the population goals? Wouldn't that accomplish the same thing? So we have a situation right now where public safety is taking a second seat. Has taken a backseat to predator preservationists. In fact, to the point where as soon as we got off air, Eric, Saturday afternoon, four ladies were attacked by a cougar in Fall City. This comes on the heels of Olympic National Park getting shut down last July when another cougar attacked a young child. So they had to shut down this entire national park, which is kind of hard on revenue and people's vacation plans. 2 years ago, we had a fatality when another cougar attacked and it fatally killed a biker in the same neck of the woods. All this, and of course, now we're having bear attacks too, where because of our hunting has been decreased. We've recently, the commission recently disallowed a spring bear hunt. And now, so the department, instead of the revenue generating hunting, has to spend money on Carilion bear dog handlers to handle all this. It's no way to run a railroad, Eric. But like, to your point earlier, this is what is going to happen. If this goes through in Washington, all of this predator emphasis rather than adhering to the big game management, the North American model of big game management that's been a success story in this nation for 200 years. It ain't broke, don't fix it. They're trying to fix it, and then they're going to try to export this evil, I will call this woke ideology over biology. They're going to start exporting this back east.
Well, and it's actually happening right now, Tom. If you look, and again, I'm just going to leave this in more of a 30,000-foot view, but just now in Wisconsin, they are putting forward a proposal to not have antlerless deer hunting for 4 years. Now, they've also said that they probably have miscounted the wolf population by a significant amount, but then they also say, well, wolves really haven't caused that much issue. It's more habitat and some other things. And I say, be careful what we have, because science doesn't back that up. We had a couple people on that talked exactly about that, and it was the same concept, and it's exactly what's happening. Let's base it on science. Same thing happens in our lakes. A prime lake in the state of Minnesota, one of the biggest recreational bodies of water. It's not managed as a resource. It's managed as a political football. Same exact thing, and it's just creeping, creeping, creeping. And it's a really frustrating thing from that aspect. Now, you have had the fortune of spending some time. In fact, when we were out in the water, if anybody's familiar with Jesse Waters, he's on Fox TV, Fox News. You were actually on the phone with Jesse Waters while we were out doing some crabbing and filming some boat test videos. And what I found interesting when I started delving into it with your partner, Joey Pyburn, was that when I read the story, we talked about the reintroduction of grizzly out in your area. That is a major, major step in that same direction.
Boy, I tell you what, it's you. My heart goes out to and let me just back this up with, I've had lots of experience with bears. I got a degree in fisheries biology from the University of Washington. We did a lot of stream surveys in coastal Alaskan waters. Up in Alaska, these same species are called coastal brownies. They're a little bit mellower than grizzlies because of all the protein, all the sockeye eat. But in the North Cascades, these grizzlies have a bad attitude because they ain't as well fed. And so now you're going to have kids in rural bus stops. You're going to have more landowner interactions. You're going to have livestock interactions with this apex predator. Let's just go ahead and throw a great white shark into your freaking opening day, you know, trout lake. Go right ahead. What do you think is going to happen? And the U.S. Department of Interior's rationale for this is, well, the apex predators spread all kinds of wonderful seeds and everything all across the landscape. Really? You're taking and you're going to go all botanist on me and say we don't have enough seeds being spread in the North Cascades? And so you're bringing essentially a 1,000-pound bad attitude with fillet knives for claws that never ate, never met anything he didn't want to eat. You know, and so the thing of it is, all this comes against the backdrop of, you know, as a former Seattle firefighter, fireboat pilot, I was a public safety official for over a quarter century in the city of Seattle. Okay. You can trust me with some public safety information. When I approached WDFW and asked,
prior
to this WDFW, grizzly reintroduction,
Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Right.
I asked the department for some of the interactions that we've seen since we have cut our bear seasons, cut our cougar seasons, disallowed baiting and hounding, and another of these, you know, other situations. They would not provide me with the public safety information. They FOIA'd me. They were required that I file a Freedom of Information Act request. Now, I don't know about you, but if you have ever tried to sort through the mass of nonsensical crap, and then they only give you a little bit of time to go through all this stuff, it's about a full-time job. So we're asking all the right questions. We've got a government right now in the state of Washington that lies, obfuscates, lies directly, and also lies through omission. So it's a mess out here. It's very, very concerning. Hopefully some of these interactions, some of the real public safety issues and some of the, you know, people that have been in the hospital because of these increased predator interactions, you know, maybe this is going to catch some people's attention, and maybe we'll get somebody with a more level head in the governor's mansion.
Well, I think to kind of wrap up that part of the topic, the unfortunate part is that these areas have been built up, the towns have been built up on recreational usage, hiking, biking, cross-country skiing, whatever, downhill skiing, but it, primarily the, those more remote sports where you're biking through trails and whatever. And to introduce that type of apex predator to an area that's been built on tourism and the town has been built on it, what you will virtually do is create a one-way track for that town, and it's not a positive one. And that's the unfortunate part about it is when you – oh, well, they were there before. Well, guess what? Things change. It's like the cities with deer. And the joke is, well, you know, you need to change where the deer crossing signs are because where they're we're crossing these roads now, they're gonna their people are gonna, you know, hurt their cars. And but that's the nonsensical level that we're in, Tom. You and I both know it. Don, you know, we all have talked about it. So the concept becomes how do you overcome that level of misinformation that is pushed so that bills like these get pushed through. And I can't thank you enough for your vocal aspect on this so we can be aware. And again, I follow the state of Minnesota. You guys in the state, whether it's Minnesota, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wisconsin, Michigan, you guys are all listening to this show. The whole Midwest, Iowa, everywhere, you guys take this seriously because as soon as you think it's one small step for, oh, not a big deal, next thing you know, it's a bigger step and bigger step and bigger step.
I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, I've in talking, you mentioned Jesse Waters and Fox News. And, you know, I've been working with Jesse, you know, on this as an occasional guest on Fox News on his show for a couple of years now. And the reach of that national broadcast is amazing. But here's the thing. We have an outfit right now called Sportsman's Alliance. I mentioned Brian Lynn, who's the executive director of Sportsman's Alliance. They have a legislative watch that's watching all these things. And it's not just the predator enhancement, but it's also, you know, some just unrealistic firearms legislation that we're seeing right now, definitely infringing upon our Second Amendment rights. But, you know, we have to be very, very vigilant, Eric, because, you know, if we don't, our traditional outdoor pursuits are going to be lost to our kids. And that's really what this is all about, making sure that this outdoor legacy is passed on to our kids. Because, dude, I'm here to tell you, what they sell in the grocery stores these days, all this processed crap, is not food. If I couldn't fish, if I couldn't hunt, I would not know what to eat.
There is that. I got to love it. I mean, we just pulled a story out today that Don and I have, and all of us have been following. The State High School Clay Target League, and of course, shooting sports in the high schools is the largest growing sport, right next to tournament fishing for kids, you know, bass fishing in the high schools. And right now, they're just trying to introduce a bill which prohibits lead ammunition and tackle, and it would prohibit the use of any lead shot for any event conducted by the Minnesota State High School Clay Target League. Well, it immediately probably triples or quadruples the cost to go shoot, Don.
Right. And Minnesota being the largest participant in the country with 8,000 shooters this last year. I just don't – that would have a devastating effect on the involvement there.
Exactly. And so like I said, Tom, this is exactly the methodology that they're going to go – people are going to go that don't want to have them doing this. They tried to eliminate it by cutting the funding. The administration cut the funding on archery and gun education or
that was federal.
Firearms education. That was federal.
Yeah.
And they tried to eliminate it, and they chopped it. So – yeah, it's just frustrating, but again, thanks for holding the torch, and that's one of the big reasons I wanted you on. You know, your vision, your voice, and level of experience on that side of it is needless to say, pretty awesome. So let's move on to some positivity.
Let's talk about positivity, dude. I was so happy when, you know, I got involved with Cheryl Wheels, Cheryl Propeller, Cheryl Propulsion, and you. There's my buddy, right, Eric Olson. You know, working with Cheryl, and this has been just an amazing opportunity to introduce this propulsion technology to the Pacific Northwest. I mean,
The big thing for you when we were up filming things, for me, I was going to talk fishing, but let's jump into it. But, you know, No, you're good. I mean, the fun part for me is, you know, we go out there and go fishing with you, and, you know, the level of fishing that you have, it's kind of like me for walleye, and it's you for the salmon and the crabbing aspect. And, you know, being able to apply all that you have knowledge-wise and have fun with that, it gives me an opportunity to go out there and visit and hang out. But pretty incredible, Tom.
And eat crab. Come on. Be serious.
We wolfed down a crab so much.
Fresh, hot, Dungeness crab. Admit it.
We
were eating on the dock. I felt like an absolute glutton because it kept coming out of the pot.
We weren't going to say that.
It's just crazy. The primary thing, I mean, obviously, I mean, I work with Cheryl, and they've been obviously tremendous and giving you a lot of things with the performance of your boat that, you know, obviously it's a big deal, and I love that fact. But one of the things I wanted to talk about was we've heard a lot about the salmon fishery out there and how it's been an up-and-down battle. They've had regulations like, oh, there's not going to be enough salmon, there's not going to be this, this, and this. What's your view going forward? How is that looking from your perspective?
So every year, you know, we get forecasts, right? And so, you know, those are just coming out. And so the salmon season setting process here in the Pacific Northwest is known as the North of Falcon process. And Cape Falcon roughly bisects the state of Oregon, right? So we're up here in Washington. So we're interested in that piece of the pie north that extends all the way into Canada and Alaska. And this great big bunch of Chinook and coho and, you know, and sockeyes and dog salmon that are all coming down the coast this year. We're not going to get any pinks because it's an even year. But so one of the restrictions that we have right now is our unclipped or wild Chinook. Okay.
Now
so
we got 1 minute. They got to sum it up. We got 1 minute. We're tight on time.
Okay. Here's the deal. Our hatcheries drive our fisheries, and so we are looking at a good upswing of hatchery fish this year. You got to come out here. This is going to be one of the best seasons that we've seen in the Pacific Northwest. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say not only are the numbers of Chinook going to be the best we've seen in a decade, but the individual size of fish. I truly think we're going to see more 30s, 40s, and 50-pounders up and down the coast. So you better come out here and eat some crab and catch some fish.
Tom, count on it. That was it. Nail in the coffin, I'm coming. I'll be out there, buddy. I will have you on again. Fight the good fight. Keep after it. Tom Nelson from the Outdoor Line out in Seattle, ESPN Outdoors, and we certainly appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Thank you, dude.
You bet. And we are the Valley Outdoors. Thanks for joining us, guys, and we will be back next week. See ya.